It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Richard Hake. Major new criminal justice reforms are coming to New York in January. They prevent judges from setting bail on people accused of misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies. As we've heard this week from WNYC's Beth Fertig, New York City already has an alternative to bail called supervised release, and it's about to expand substantially. Beth joins us now to talk about the resources it'll take to support defendants outside of jail. Beth, good morning.
Good morning.
Beth, so we know from your reporting that New York City has a pretty substantial program for monitoring defendants while they're waiting to go on trial. Do any other cities and counties have supervised release? Because they'll need to once the bail laws change.
Yeah, a lot of them do, but it's nothing as developed as what we have in New York City. Mm-hmm. For example, Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance is giving $100 million to expand the city's supervised release program in each of the next few years. He's using money from asset forfeitures, settlements with international banks. Mm-hmm. And he can do this because he's in Manhattan, the financial capital.
Sure.
But other DAs don't have these resources to pay for pretrial supervision. Here's Robert Carney, the District Attorney for Schenectady, speaking last month.
The law says, oh, we can have pretrial release services where people have to report on a regular basis. They can be subjected to home visits. They could have ankle bracelets and monitoring. But nowhere in the state of New York but Manhattan, apparently, will that occur because there's zero funding for that.
Now, Governor Cuomo said counties should be able to pay for pretrial supervision with money they'll save on jailing defendants. The state also expects counties to collect more money from a new tax on internet sales, but obviously not everybody agrees it's sufficient.
We heard the Schenectady DA mention ankle bracelets. Are those allowed in the new law?
Yeah, judges can order electronic monitoring for defendants before their trials. That's in the bail reform law, but I've heard there are no contracts in place yet. Judges can also set curfews and take away a defendant's passport or firearms, which they can already do, but they can't require defendants to undergo drug testing. Mm. New Jersey allows that. They did away with cash bail 3 years ago. Drug testing is not allowed in New York for people who have not yet been convicted of anything.
So when New York City begins spending more than $100 million a year on pretrial supervision, where will that money go? I mean, what kind of services will it buy?
I visited the Queens office of the New York City Criminal Justice Agency last month. They're one provider of supervised release. And there was literally a guy with a measuring tape walking around the room, Richard.
Why?
Well, they were trying to figure out how many more case managers and other staffers they could fit into the space. The woman who runs the office told me she's not just on a hiring spree, though. She's hoping to lease more offices around the borough because their one site for meeting clients is in Long Island City, and they want to be in more neighborhoods like Jamaica to make it easier for defendants who are required to meet with caseworkers in person to go there while awaiting trial.
Now, the tabloids recently made a big deal about whether these defendants are being coddled because they can receive gift cards from the city to restaurants. Some even went to a baseball game. I mean, is that typical for people under pretrial supervision?
No, let's clarify. I saw those reports in the Post and conservative media. They were wildly exaggerated. Here's what we know. Only six teenagers went to a Mets game last summer. They were rewarded for going to all of their court dates, plus extra programs like counseling sessions, and a private donor footed the bill. I'm told gift cards to fast food restaurants are given out more frequently by the supervised release providers, and they're seen as incentives to encourage the clients to come to a group session at the office, for example, or if a staffer is taking them to sign up for housing assistance to help them, and they'll be out for a while and they need a meal. So overall, I'm told this is less than 1% of the total funding for supervised release.
And finally, we know that bail can't be set on anyone accused of a misdemeanor or nonviolent crime after January 1st. When can judges set bail?
They can still set bail on someone accused of a violent crime like a murder or a rape, when someone who's been released until their trial violates a restraining order, or if they get arrested for another felony. Judges can also set bail on defendants who persistently and willfully fail to come back to court. But we don't know how the judges are going to interpret that. I'm told by one expert there are likely to be legal challenges over what is persistent and willful once the judges start setting bail on people who fail to come back to court.
WNYC's Beth Fertig. Beth, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
You can see much more on this at Gothamist.com.